Howdy, regulars. This is Regular Dispatch 98. It's September 15th, 2020. I will wait here in the fields to see how well the rain brings on the grass. In the labor of the fields, longer than a man's life, I am at home. Don't come with me. You stay home too. I will be standing in the woods where the old trees move only with the wind and then with gravity. In the stillness of the trees, I am at home. Don't come with me. You stay home too. That's a short poem by Wendell Berry. I believe published in 1980. As a first poem in a collection called A Part. I've read a little Wendell Berry, trying to remember, into these dispatches. I read a nice essay he wrote in 1969 called Think Little. And I transcribed and then read some comments he made in a Q&A at a book festival, I think in Wisconsin. So you can find those at regular.fm/98 in the show notes. Just get to the tag for Wendell Berry. And this is, I've read other poems, a couple, two or three, so far here. So that's another tag that might be useful. I just happened upon this randomly recently. There's an interesting sentiment here for sure. He moved, you know, back to the farm in Kentucky where he grew up after having gotten his degrees and becoming a professor and became a farmer and did all his writing there on the farm on a typewriter and by longhand because he wouldn't use a computer because he so resented the coal companies and what they were doing to Kentucky. His work constantly reminds me of John Taylor Gatto, at least in sentiment and theme. I was reading, I think yesterday, again, from John Taylor Gatto's, an essay he has, like, I think it's called, We Need Less Schooling, Not More. In this essay, he's relating a little bit of the history of factory schooling, and he is pointing out the deficiencies of networks, or at least our deficiencies in understanding the nature of networks. And he has some pretty serious criticism of networks. And I was reflecting that I'm over-networked and under-communitied. And here we have Wendell Berry. I'm at home. Don't come with me. You stay home too. As he's walking around in the trees, in the fields, watching the rain, watching the grass, appreciating his place and nature and all of that. I'm at home. Don't come with me. You stay home too. That notion of home. And that we don't all have to follow each other. The entire mania of the fear of missing out, so-called. And to imagine what we've done to ourselves, these phones we keep in our pockets and the screens we look at, always some other place, some, you know, strange, highly edited view into other people's lives, even the people that are legitimately and truly, deeply, very important to us. Something warping about these filters. I looked at Instagram, inside Instagram. I logged into Instagram the other day for the first time in forever, probably a few years. I did so because I got an email from Instagram. It was legitimately from Instagram. It was a login notice. It wasn't for my account either, though. Someone had used one of my email addresses somehow, associated with some random, totally random Instagram account, it gave me just enough pause that I went and turned on two-factor, basically, for my Instagram account. It still sits there at instagram.com/JoelBush. The last picture I took was, I guess, right around the time, I think I had found out that morning that Facebook bought it, and I wrote in a notebook, you know, thanks, Instagram, that was fun, but I don't let Facebook on my phones. And at the time, Instagram was basically only on your phone. I think it's still really, to use it, you have to, it's only useful on your on a phone. So picture intensive, photo intensive. So I took a picture of that, and I've left it there. I deleted my Facebook account entirely at some point. I find them just so incredibly distasteful on about 70 different dimensions that I want no part of it anymore. But it was an interesting effect. I just took a few minutes and was scrolling through Instagram, and there's something about it. I don't know. I think it's because I'm not in it all the time. It definitely didn't inspire me to want to go back to Instagram. I appreciate the people I was seeing through it. And it's interesting. My wife still uses these things, and so she will often know things that my friends are up to because she's seen certain things on Instagram, where somebody is or what's going on, or ask me, you know, have I seen one of the children of one of my friends, because they've, you know, hit this massive growth spurt or something like that. And they do radiate that kind of ambient awareness of people important to you. But per Gatto's critique, again, having read the second part of what may turn out to be 6 or 8 or 10 parts through here over time, just yesterday, he's criticizing networks for siphoning off most of us and bringing in just this tiny little bit of us and introducing kind of a resultant superficiality, artificiality. And I think Gatto is now deceased, but I think he lived long enough to see social networks, so-called. And if he didn't like networks, a school as a network, a professional association, a company as a network, that he thought we were asking the networks to do too many things, that we needed to remember to get some of these things not through networks. Networks could not deliver them for us. And so we needed to remember family and neighborhood and things like this. True community, where we aren't mere abstractions to each other, but people with names in the full realization of people with flaws and everything. And I don't know, it's very striking to me that we're so excessively networked, news networks and social networks in particular. And I think we've kind of backed ourselves into a bit of a corner with what we've done with the education system, so-called, and the media superstructure, such as it is. I don't know the solution for it. It's also interesting to me that in this poem you have Wendell Berry talking about being alone. He's alone. I'm at home. Don't come with me. You stay home too. And so that also gets me thinking too about loneliness is no fun. But solitude doesn't have to be lonely. And of course, in this period of COVID and shutdowns and all of this, we all have more opportunities now to be alone, to have solitude, than ever before. Maybe not in the same way. Some of us, in fact, and I have friends, like, we will reflect on this, that the biggest stretches of solitude that some of us get is the work commute. Because as soon as you get home, wonderfully, there's bustling family and activity and all of this. And so those precious moments where we just get to be by ourselves and let our thoughts settle back into the riverbed of our minds. So Wendell Berry, the in this poem, he's alone, but doesn't in any sense seem lonely or isolated. And I don't know, there's something about it too. He's out in nature, he's out in the fields, the rain, the grass, the woods, the trees, the wind, gravity, stillness. And I'm at home. He's at home. I'm at home. don't come with me. You stay home too. Just sort of like starting with that. And it does remind me too, these dispatches for me at least are this ever winding rope with all these threads that keep intertwining over and over each other and hopefully strengthening this very strong thread. And Ben Hogan, metaphor of golf and talking about the golf swing, and it all begins with the grip. The grip. And so Wendell Berry in this poem seems someone who has a very strong grip, a grasp of where he is and who he is. And he doesn't want it all disturbed. He's not trying to come into your place. He's not trying to get you to come into his place. It's got me thinking about a lot of this stuff. I do suppose soon I've been almost several times I've brought in this book by, I think his name's Jaron Lanier, 10 Arguments for Why You Should Delete Your Social Media Accounts Now. And this man's a technologist who helped create all of this stuff. And I think everybody, like, seems like a lot of people are talking about some new documentary that hit Netflix that has some of the early people behind Facebook and these other social networks who now are saying and warning that these things are designed to be addictive. They're designed to be isolating. They're designed to be to drive outrage, offense, titillation, conflict, strife. And so it seems just incredibly unhelpful. So it's interesting just to walk through, these are just two stanzas, a small poem, but it packs a lot of punch, for me at least. And I'm at home. It's night. Let me tell you, because I've been sharing a little bit about the early to bed, early to rise. I went to bed really early last night. It was great. It was 9-something, 9:45, 9:55, somewhere in there. I was asleep. And something stirred me around 1:30. I was awake for at least an hour and a half, went to sleep. And that would have been no big deal. I still would have gotten up with the alarm. I think I have it set for 4:40 now. And that's to give myself just a few more minutes to kind of get the shoes tied and stuff. I want to be running before 5 o'clock. And it's one of those times that you wake up and you're not really sure what woke you up, what's going on. And I was kind of disoriented, like, what's happening? And there were these three chirps. And it turns out one of the smoke detectors around here, I guess, thinks it's failing or it's some calendar clock. And so three chimes, a few minutes, and I'm having to kind of go look online, figure out what the heck that even, what does three chimes mean, and get up on a ladder and get it down and all this, and it really woke me up yet again, and I just turned the alarm off. I could have probably just gutted it out, dealt with it. It was, I can't remember, 3:30, 3:45, so I'm not even going to be asleep for an hour, and it's going to go off again. I'm already missed some sleep. So I turned it off, and I slept late enough to, I got up, still dark, I made breakfast, a nice long dog walk, these kinds of things, but those just couple little episodes blew out the opportunity to get up, go for a run, do some exercise, and knock out the dispatch. So you can kind of tell my days if they're really kind of on track, and with all of these people from your Navy SEAL Jocko and David Goggins types to all these like productivity type people in the GTD sphere, all of that stuff. James Clear, and Darren Roberts, buddy here in town. Like, I do really appreciate the notion of you set your priorities for tomorrow, late afternoon kind of, and I'll get into this maybe later, but late afternoon, some people say you kind of set just a, some say one, some say three, some say six. Doesn't really, who cares? Set one or two or three things that you want to do tomorrow. You're going to knock out the most important things. Have that at the ready. And if you can stack them up early in the morning, or if you can get a good workout in or whatever, your own time to read early in the morning, it's just a great feeling. And again, it is like the I'm at home. Don't come with me. You stay home too. Like, we can all find a little bit of that in the mornings. We can find it in the evenings, too. Late at night, if you're a night owl, that's totally fine. But that's why there wasn't a dispatch early this morning. I will get this one out today, though, and fully intend, give it another try tomorrow, to, if I don't wake up earlier, wake up with the alarm at 4:40. So, hope y'all had a great one, and we did here. And yeah, I'm at home. Don't come with me. You stay home too. I hope where you are, that a home gives you the same kind of peace and confidence and calm that is that this poem evokes. And if it doesn't, I suppose that's probably a good thing to address, good thing to work on, get a grip, as it were. Thanks, y'all.